Hello friends, in this section I am going to discuss about the wages issues and collective bargaining. You know, just after the independence, due to obvious reason, the expectations of people went up very fast, and that led to, interestingly, some of the sort of, you know, issues, industrial relation related issues, and that needed immediate attention. So immediately after the attainment of independence, the IR situation actually started deteriorating, as a matter of fact. There was a phenomenal increase in the number of industrial disputes, mostly over wages, leading to a substantial loss of production. Realizing the importance of industrial peace, central government convened in 1947 a tripartite conference consisting of the representatives of employers, laborers, and the government. As a result, Government of India declared Industrial Policy Resolution of 1948. In the statement embodied in the resolution, the government included two items which are bearing on wages. The first item was a statutory fixation of minimum wages in sweated industries. And the second one was promotion of fair wages agreement in more organized industries. To achieve the first objective of the Industrial Policy Resolution, the Minimum Wages Act 1942 it was passed. In the recent years, in the organized sector, the terms and conditions of employment, including periodic revision of wages and adjustments, have mainly taken place through collective bargaining, providing substantial gains to the working people. Though the Minimum Wages Act provides for a review of the rates of minimum wages at interval not exceeding 5 years, the actual revisions of wages in some cases have taken place, unfortunately, at much longer periods. The implementation of Act leaves much to be desired, particularly in unorganized sector, unfortunately. To fulfill the second objective, that is promotion of fair wages, mentioned in the Industrial Policy Resolution, the Government of India appointed in 1949 a tripartite committee on fair wages to determine the principles on which fair wages should be fixed and to suggest the lines on which these principles should be applied. Well, so to fulfill the second objective, that is promotion of fair wages, mentioned in the Industrial Policy Resolution, the Government of India appointed in 1949 a tripartite committee on fair wages to determine the principles on which fair wages should be fixed and to suggest the lines on which these principles should be applied. This committee, for the first time, examined in detail the wage concepts and their application to Indian conditions and suggested criteria for the wage fixation and a progressive improvement of the wage structure. The committee in its report distinguished three levels of wages: the minimum wage, fair wage, and living wage. Article 43 of Indian Constitution provides that the state shall endeavor to secure, by suitable legislation or economic organization or in a other way to all workers, agricultural, industrial or otherwise work, a living wage and conditions of work ensuring a decent standard of living and full enjoyment of leisure and social and cultural opportunities. with the enactment of Industrial Disputes Act 1947, fixation of wages in India has been continuously influenced or determined by the agencies set up by the state, that is the conciliation officers, the conciliation boards, industrial tribunals and national tribunals. Wage fixation exercises in most establishments were carried out through adjudication. The high courts and the Supreme Court have also adjudicated upon wage disputes. The awards given by these authorities not only helped in the formulation of principles governing wage fixation, but laid foundation of the present wage structure in many of the major industries. Now, let us discuss the recommendation of the Pay Commission. Pay Commission is an administrative system, a mechanism that is set up by Government of India to determine the salaries of government employees. Every Pay Commission does its research and then produces its recommendations to the Government of India, which Government of India accepts, which Government of India accepts or rejects. Mostly members of Pay Commission are some very senior government servants, economists, Supreme Court judges and people from different fields. It does its research on market, inflation and whole lot of financial things to suggest salary changes for a particular time frame. Since India's independence, seven pay commissions have been set up on a regular basis to review and make recommendations on the work and the pay structure of all civil and military divisions of the Government of India. In fact, seventh pay commission was set up in 2014 and implemented in 2016. The eighth pay commission will be set up in 2024. Moving on. One of the objectives of economic planning is the raising of the standard of living of the people. This means that the benefits of planned economic development should be distributed among the different sections of the society. A national wage policy thus aims at establishing wages at the highest possible level, which the economic condition of the country permit, and ensuring that the wage earner gets a fair share of the increased prosperity of the country as a whole, resulting from the economic development. In order to achieve the above objectives under the national wage policy, the following regulations have been adopted by the state. Number one, minimum wages. In order to prescribe the minimum rate of wages, the Minimum Wages Act 1948 was passed. The Act empowers the government to fix minimum rates of wages in respect of certain sweated and unorganized employments. It also provides for the review of these wages at the intervals not exceeding 5 years. In order to achieve the above objectives under the National Wage Policy, the following regulations have been adopted by the state: compulsory conciliation and arbitration. With the object of providing for conciliation and arbitration, the Industrial Dispute Act 1947 was passed. It provides for the appointment of industrial tribunals and national industrial tribunals for settlement of industrial disputes, including those relating to wages. In order to achieve the above objectives under the National Wage Policy, the following regulations have been adopted by the state. Wage boards. A wage board is a tripartite body with representatives of management and workers, presided over by a government-nominated chairperson who can act as an umpire in the event of disagreement among the parties. Technically, a wage board can make only recommendations, since there is no legal sanction for it. But for all practical purposes, they are awards which, if made unanimously, are considered binding upon employers. Wage fixation. The Committee on Fair Wages defined three different levels of wages as follows. Living wage. The living wage, according to the committee, represented the highest level of the wage, which should enable the worker to provide for himself and his family not merely the basic essentials of food, clothing, and shelter, but a measure of frugal comfort, including education for children, protection against ill health, requirements of essential social needs, and a measure of insurance against more important misfortune, including old age. Fair wage. Fair wage means the levels of the wages should enable the industry to maintain production with efficiency. The fair wage should be related with the productivity of labor. Since the existing level of wages is unable to maintain a worker's own subsistence plus standard, it is essential that the workers must be first assured of a living wage, and only after this minimum has been done, the wages should be related to the productivity. Moving on, minimum wage. The committee was of the view that a minimum wage must provide not merely for the bare sustenance of life, but for the preservation of the efficiency of the workers. For this purpose, minimum wage must also provide for some measure of education, medical requirements, and amenities. A minimum wage is the lowest amount a worker can be paid, determined by law. Paying an individual below the minimum wage is illegal. A living wage is the amount an individual or family would need to make to avoid living in poverty. This amount is usually higher than the minimum wage and is not mandated by law. So please, here it's very important to note that the minimum wage is the legal requirement. If the employer is paying below minimum wage, it is illegal act, so to speak. Let us discuss now the factors influencing wage and salary administration. External factors. So demand and supply is a very, very important factor. The higher the demand of a particular talent, higher the salary it will attract. Cost of living in a particular city. Trade union bargain power. Yes, very obvious. Government legislation. Goes without saying. Psychological and social factors, economy, technological development, and prevailing market rates. These are the important factors, so to speak. External factors, so to speak. Yeah. Now, what are the internal factors? Internal factors are ability to pay. In case of the employer, the job requirements, how critical is a particular job? So that's important from deciding the wages. Then from employer standpoint, the performance or productivity of particular employee, seniority, experience of doing particular job, and the potential to kind of take up the higher responsibility, different responsibility. So these are some of the internal factors, so to speak, employer would consider while kind of deciding the wages. Now let us discuss about the wage structure in India. Wage structure include basic wage, Dearness allowance, overtime payment, annual bonus, incentive systems, and fringe benefits, that is, you know, other benefits. Now let us discuss collective bargaining. Collective bargaining is the process of negotiating the terms and conditions of employment between employers and trade union representing workers. It is an important aspect of labor relations and is critical for ensuring that workers have a voice in the workplace. Over the years, collective bargaining has evolved, and there are new issues and trends that have emerged. What are the prerequisites for collective bargaining? Freedom of association, strong and stable trade unions, recognition of trade unions, and willingness to give and take. Let us discuss now the legal framework of collective bargaining. Article 19(1)(c) of the Indian Constitution guarantees freedom of association and unions as a fundamental right. This was recognized in the Trade Union Act 1926, Industrial Disputes Act 1947, and the Industrial Employment Standing Orders Act 1948. The Industrial Disputes Act 1947, under sections 22 and 23, provides for right to strike subject to restrictions given in the above sections. Thus, a strike is the antithesis of a lockout. It is regarded as a powerful weapon of collective bargaining. Even though it sounds unpleasant, with all its attendant hardships and evils, the occurrence of which is regarded as one of the powerful levers to bring about agreements. Strikes as a weapon of collective bargaining. Let us discuss this point. The bargaining strength would be considerably reduced if it is not permitted to demonstrate by adopting agitational methods such as work to rule, go slow, and absenteeism, sit down, strike and strike. This right has been recognized by almost all democratic countries. The strike itself is a part of the bargaining process. As the strike progresses, the workers' savings disappear. The union treasury dwindles and management faces mounting losses. Demands are tempered, offers are extended, and compromises previously unthinkable become acceptable. The very economic pressure of the strike facilitates, which makes agreement possible. Let us discuss now the levels of collective bargaining. Bargaining could be at the national level. It could be at the industry come region-wide agreements, or it could be decentralized firm plant level agreements. Till 1970s, collective agreements were a period of 2 to 3 years. During the 70s and the 80s, the duration of agreements increased to 3 to 4 years. And in the 90s, over 4/5 of the central public sector agreements were signed for duration of 5 years each. What are the key issues in collective bargaining? Wage increases are key issues in collective bargaining. In recent years, there has been a growing trend towards wage increases, with workers demanding higher wages due to the rising cost of living. To achieve this, workers' unions have been using collective bargaining to negotiate better wages and benefits for their members. Another important issue in collective bargaining is job security. With the rise of automation and globalization, there has been an increase in job security, insecurity, with many workers losing their jobs due to outsourcing and other factors. As a result, job security has become a key bargaining issue for many workers. health and safety. Health and safety is another important issue in collective bargaining. Workers have the right to a safe and healthy work environment, and unions often negotiate for better working conditions and safety measures. Retirement benefits are also a key issue in collective bargaining. As the population ages, workers are becoming more concerned about their retirement benefits, and unions are negotiating for better retirement packages. Let us discuss, what are the key trends in collective bargaining. Collective bargaining in the public sector has been a growing trend in recent years. Public sector workers, including teachers, nurses, and government employees, have been unionizing and negotiating for better working conditions, wages, and benefits. This is clearly one very powerful trend we are seeing. In non-traditional worker segment also, we are seeing the unionization. The temporary and part-time workers are becoming an increasingly important part of the labor force now. As a result, unions are expanding their focus to include these workers and negotiating for better conditions and benefits for them. Well, technology is probably the biggest reason, I would say, bringing a lot of disruptions in the life of workers, work, and workplaces, so to speak. Due to technology, the routine activities are becoming automated. And as they say, we are transitioning very fast into the economy of scale. So, very clear trend that the use of technology in the workplace is another trend that is affecting collective bargaining. With the rise of automation, the use of artificial intelligence, workers are really concerned about the impact of technology on their jobs. I'm sure that we all know the impact of ChatGPT in recent past, in kind of, automating, so to speak, the day-to-day things. Unions are negotiating now for training and reskilling programs to ensure that workers can adapt to new technologies. Workers are upskilled, reskilled. Not only that, they also develop the resilience to work in this uncertain kind of environment. They cope up the pressure. Well, so diversity is a new sort of, currency, I would say, which is gaining lot of value. The workplace diversity is becoming an increasingly important issue in today's time. More and more women are joining the work. And of course, it is important more and more women join and participate in the economic activity and thereby contribute directly to the prosperity of a country. So, increasingly, the diversity is becoming a very, very important subject. Diversity is no more esoteric concept for great organizations. So workplace diversity, in this case also, unions are negotiating for better representation of women, minorities, and other underrepresented groups in the workplace, as well as better policies to address discrimination and harassment. With diversity, it is also important that we should have inclusive workplace, and we should have equitable, system. And, the trade unions are negotiating and using the collective bargaining power with management. So, conclusion. Let me summarize what we discussed. So, collective bargaining is a critical aspect of labor relations. and understanding the latest issues and trends in essential for workers, employers, and policymakers. We discussed about that. From wage increases to workplace diversity, the issues and trends in collective bargaining are constantly evolving. As a student of union management relation, it is important to stay informed about these trends and issues to ensure that you have a comprehensive understanding of the subject. So that's from my side. Thank you, friends. Thanks a lot.